Well, we heard in a scripture that Martha was busy. Martha was busy, and Mary chose to be still, to tune in to Jesus, as it were. And the lesson here is not that it's bad to work, but that we also need times of connection with God. Tuning into the holy, it may mean just taking time to notice that things that are beckoning to us to kind of dwell with us for a little while. So we ask ourselves, well, what contemplative practices can feed and nourish our active lives and help us to be more in tune to the present moment? Ask ourselves, what distractions or addictions consume our attention? A woman named Rachel, she had many years of experience working with diverse communities in the nonprofit sector, focusing on the management, on fundraising, on leadership development. She related the following experience. She said, "For the past couple of months, my husband and I have been looking for a new home. We've been running all over town, usually with our two kids in tow, with our very patient realtor, who thankfully is also a close friend, hoping to find our next domestic adventure, at least in the regard to home ownership. And as we search for something new, and our friend and realtor encourages us to prioritize our needs with respect to our new home, I am compelled to picture our future life. I'm finding myself living more and more in a state of what could be rather than what is. My phone would beep with alerts of new houses popping up on the market, and I would check them immediately. In fact, my phone was full of all kinds of apps and alerts telling me of my many activity options. I would be at one event with my family, and my phone would alert me to several other events that were also happening that I could go to. I get them on my texts or my calendars or my event reminders. And then, she relates, I lost my phone. I panicked for approximately 1 hour. I told myself I should go right away and get a new phone, but the store was closed. I told myself I would go in the morning, but then I realized there was a musician I wanted to take my son to go to and see in the morning. Well, she says, I finally made it to the store, and just as the man at Verizon had me almost convinced that the only thing to do was to buy a new one, I asked, well, doesn't my insurance cover lost phones? He said, well, it did, but he assumed I didn't want to wait 24 hours to get a new one in the mail. I told him I could happily wait and promptly left the store. A recent study has revealed that people who are successful in their careers are more likely to be engaged in compulsive internet use and are increasingly at risk of anxiety and depression and isolation as they obsessively log in out-of-work hours. The results came as a surprise to the researchers, who assumed it would be young people and unemployed who were more at risk from internet addiction. But researchers warned that the dangers are being overlooked by the companies because those most at risk are usually the most successful. So they let it slide. Interesting, huh? When cell phones and smartphones became commodity items, people claimed that they would make communication simpler and business more efficient and life would become easier. Well, it's proven sort of correct. The pundits, they also maintained that because we would avoid having to wait to find where's the next payphone. Remember the payphones? I never worried. I always one would show up. And we'd also could leave messages, right, for those we were unable to contact. Well, cell phones would ultimately provide us with more free time. And the same claims, they were made with computers when they were miniaturized, right, to laptops and then to tablets. More free time because of cell phones or tablets? That has definitely not occurred. If anything, cell phones and tablets and all these gadgets, they've invaded our private space and our personal time. Thanks to cell phones, our business or working lives intrude upon our family lives. We feel obligated to check our smartphones, where's my phone, right? Every few minutes to see what messages have come in or if we haven't, you know, what's there. Our friends, our colleagues, even people we barely know feel that they have the right to contact us anytime of the day or night. Oh, I'll just text them. It's midnight. They won't have to answer unless they're using their phone as their alarm clock and it's next to their bed and it wakes them up when the beep comes. You ever have that experience? Oh my gosh. We are all so enslaved by our cell phones that people text while they're driving, endangering not only themselves but everybody on the road. Students did this years ago when I was substituting as a high school teacher. They surreptitiously, they look at their phones during classes, right? Their friends look at their phones in the midst of conversations. You ever had that? Participants in meetings, they glance down, right? They're with their phones regularly. Everybody say this. I mean, everybody that talks to me about it when they were trying to convince me to get one. Well, I can just text back and forth and talk to my sister while I'm in the meeting. And then, but they all cause us to be distracted from the conversation in which we're supposed to be participating. Indeed, we have truly become slaves to our cell phones, our smartphones, our tablets and laptops, rather than their masters. They have literally enchained us rather than are controlling them. They've encroached on our family time, our personal time. They've rendered us incapable of separating work from home, of our public lives from our private lives. It's time that we rein in our phones and computers and reconquer our free time. Steve Goldblum, he's a writer, a producer, a performer in LA. He shared the following reflections on unplugging and tuning in. He said, I barely remember who I was before mobile technology, or more specifically, how I killed time between moments. He says, I miss the collected sense of imagination that comes from being bored. Being bored seems a lost art form now. And the same goes for observing and listening. I mean, really listening to people, especially strangers. When did sharing an experience become more valuable than experiencing it? So, you've kind of listened to all this, and so you've gone, oh boy, I've decided to power off, right? I'm going to unplug from my electronic and digital contraptions, whatever they be, and perhaps only for a day. You turn off your screens, and instead you embrace what? What exactly do you do when you turn it off? Because powering down that your phone, that's pretty easy, right? Take it out, you push the button, you hold it a few seconds, done. But then what? That's just the first step. I mean, it creates this space. But if we don't fill that space, it quickly can become a void. And our devices, they may be necessary for work, but a lot of time they're just kind of a stopgap. They're plugging those inevitable gaps in our lives between destinations or between conversations with brightly lit distractions of all kinds. And when you turn off your phone, that silence that it instantly brings might arrive as a sort of monastic sense of calm, right? And few of us have the ability to sink immediately into, you know, the double lotus and sit there for 24 hours. And if you do, you're probably completely unplugged anyway. But it does, though, even one thing it does open up is time for prayer, time for meditation, time for quiet. But to embrace the benefits of a day or even longer unplugged, you need to have a plan for what you're going to do. How are you going to spend that time when you're untethered from all those ones and zeros? That's all it is, ones and zeros. I'm always reminded, right? The whole digital reality, it's a one and a zero next to each other in different combinations. That's always kind of... How do they do that? Anyway, but one approach, right? One approach to this is to think about the things that you love on your phones and your computers, and then seek out analog, right? The non-digital. I just say the real versions of the things. And if you're a news junkie, right? And you're always on the screen looking at it. Well, go out and buy the fattest weekend newspaper you can get. And so read every single section over this giant pot of coffee or tea. And if you love playing video games, well, bring three friends to the nearest board game cafe. I've heard that they exist. Learn how to play a game or two new ones on cardboard. Yeah? If you love Instagram or whatever, then buy or borrow an instant film camera. Head to a neighborhood you've never been to before or a park. Start snapping pictures. For me, my unplugging to plug times, they hold a few common analog elements. I mean, I love my coffee or tea, and I get a snack, and, you know, I put on a little Motown music or some Western swing music or something, or the bossa nova, whatever you like, and then read a chapter or two in a book. Actually, read a book. I don't know, Dan. Anybody, I still read books. Everybody read books? Yeah, this is a very good crowd for books. Yeah. Okay. But, you know, and then I spend a lot of time outside whenever possible. Just as a downtime, I remember to leave my phone at home when I go for a walk. My wife said, but what if I need you? I'll find out when I come back. Yeah, really? But, you know, I take a hike in the woods, an afternoon at the beach, take a bike ride with my wife. Sometimes we take our dogs along with us on shorter bike rides. But, you know, or maybe just sitting in the backyard watching the hummingbirds duel it out for the feeders. Remember that unplugging isn't some test to endure. You know, it's not like a fast or something. It's permission. It's permission to indulge in a way of communicating and interacting and relaxing with the tangible world. The tangible world that can be rewarding and enjoyable. And that whatever you won't miss on your phone. It's permission to reconnect or strengthen our connection with God, with the holy, with each other. Well, remember Rachel's story at the beginning about she lost her phone? And well, let's pick up where she continues after promptly leaving the store. She said, that was 1 week ago. And while the phone was overnight, it has been in the closet, in a box, unconnected. I realized that my husband and I planned for months and months for me to be able to leave my full-time job in order to work part-time and to be with our children. And she said, I realized I was just as plugged in as I was when I was working full-time. I made this huge life transition, but I didn't know how to detach from my busy days. She said, I was craving this detachment, but didn't know how to get it until the universe made it possible for me by swallowing my phone. She continued, I have never felt so present when playing with my kids. I thought my phone and Instagram and Facebook and email helped me pass the time when I was with them, but all it did was pull me out of the moment away from them. You ever seen that? You go by a park or something? Or people, I see parents with their kids, and they're like this. Come on, let's go. Right? And they're here. And all they're something lucky if they're holding hands. She goes, it glorified the what could be rather than the what is. And while I will reconnect my phone soon, I have vowed to leave it in the closet much more often. And she signed her reflection, happily disconnected and more connected. Amen. Martha was busy, and Mary chose to be still to tune in to Jesus. The lesson here is not that it's bad to work, but that we also need times of connecting to God. Tuning into the holy may mean just taking time to notice things that are beckoning to dwell with us for a while. Amen.